For the others, it may be a position that you hold either in civic society or in business or employment. And you're identified by that particular position. And then there are no doubt people who would tell us that they are really of no significance in this world. They're obscure in this world. They just keep themselves to themselves. They go about their own business without seeking to make a name for themselves. Then there are others, and they will identify themselves as to their nationality, as to their place of birth. And of course, if you travel abroad and you take your passport with you, you are identified as a citizen of that country that you travel under. Your nationality identifies you in the eyes of that country. All of those various markers would be an appropriate way of identifying who we are individually. However, for those who are redeemed and saved by God's grace, we have a new identity. We have another identity. Because you see, the believer today, the child of God, has an identity in Christ that is unique and an identity that is unequaled. Sometimes we go through life and we have an identity crisis. We have a crisis who we are. We're not really sure who we are. And at times this crisis of identity overtakes the child of God. And yet today the believer, child of God, the one saved by the grace of God, we have an identity in Christ that ought to thrill our hearts and motivate us. When we consider all that it involves and all that it entails, you see that for the one that is saved from sin through the blood of Christ, our identity, first and foremost, is not in our nationality, it's not in our name, it's not in our nature by birth. Our identity is in Christ. What distinguishes the child of God, the believer, from the rest of humanity? What is the distinctive mark of the child of God? What is the identity of the believer today? Our identity is in Christ. It is who we are in Christ that is fundamental and that is basic to who we are. Perhaps today, the devil is creating within your life an identity crisis. And he's seeking to disturb your mind and seeking to destroy your Christian experience. He's seeking to undermine your identity. And as a result, today, you're in confusion. Your mind is in a spin and you don't know what to believe. Well, I pray that as the Lord has this past week reminded me of some of the most fundamental and elementary matters concerning our salvation, that God will so use his word today to remind each one of us of who we are in Christ, of what we are in Christ, of our identity in him. Because when we do so, and when we contemplate and consider our identity and remind ourselves of our identity, I believe it will give rise to great peace and contentment in our life. It will lead to a peace that is found alone in him. Isaiah 26 in the verse 3, we read, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And you know, one of the greatest ways for our minds to be stayed on Christ is to remind ourselves often and continually of our identity in him and because of him. Who we are, what we are, and what we have in Christ. These are truths that need to be kept before us. Truths that will encourage us along our Christian pathway. The truths that the Lord himself wants us to be mindful of. Speaking through the Apostle John in 3 John 4, the Lord writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And when we walk in truth, and when we walk in the light of the truth of God's word, and the reality of that truth concerning our identity in Christ, then it certainly will gladden and cheer our hearts. As we consider, therefore, the subject before us today of our identity in Christ, I want you to see some very simple, and I trust will be blessed, thoughts to our hearts today as we consider this identity that we have in Him. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, our standing in Christ. Our standing in Christ. You see, our standing in Christ today is the most fundamental and underpinning truth of all the other aspects of our identity in Christ. The greatest and the most wonderful reality today, the highest mark of our identity in Christ, is found in our standing in Him. The Apostle Paul often, and he repeatedly, and we have it in this verse number 17, used that little term, in Christ. And time again, when he was writing either to individual believers or to churches, this little phrase would crop up, in Christ. It's a little phrase, a little term, I know. But it has such a vast significance and importance that it can never be overlooked. You see, everybody today, regardless of class or creed or conviction, everybody today is in something. I'm not talking about being in an organization. I'm not talking about being in a church. I'm not talking about being in some sort of social club. I'm talking spiritually. Because we are either in the world in sin or we are in Christ. Only one of two standings applicable to all people. Either in sin or in Christ. By nature, we are all in sin. By nature, we are all bound to sin and in this world. But through the work of God's saving and God's sovereign grace in the life of the believer and the repentant sinner, we are brought in, we are placed in, we are positioned in Christ. Before we go any further today, the question needs to be asked then. What is your standing today? Paul was writing to believers who were in Christ. What is your standing today? Are you in Christ? Are you saved? Or are you still in your sin? Are you still walking after the things of this world? You're either in sin or you're in Christ. It's as black and white as that, folks. And if you've never been saved, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to save you, to wash your sins away, then you are still in your sin by nature. You're not in Christ. But today you can be in Christ. Today you can be saved. Today, if you leave your sin, you forsake your sin, and you turn to Christ in salvation, then you will be placed in Christ. But for each one, for every child of God, for each one who has trusted Him and Him alone for salvation, our standing today is in Christ. And as we think of that for a moment, I want us to think of some aspects of our standing in Christ that mark out our identity in Him. First of all, I want you to see our acceptance. We all want to be accepted, don't we? This social system in which we live today, it engenders the desire within us to be accepted, to seek acceptance. Whether it be with family members, whether it be with school, whether it be with university colleagues, whether it be with those we work with or live beside, we want to be accepted. Of course, the problem then is that that gets into the mind of the believer. That gets into the mindset of the Church of Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ today seems to be more bent on being accepted by this world than being accepted in the eyes of God. And what do? They lower the standards. Things that should not be involved, people involved with. Things that should not be happening in churches is happening. Why? In order to gain acceptance with this world. But you see, for the believer today, we are not striving for acceptance with this world. We do not and we should not lower the standards of holy living in order to be accepted by this world, because first and foremost, dear believer, today we are accepted in Christ, and that's all that matters. We are no longer a product of the past. We are a product of the redemptive work of Christ on the cross in saving our souls and making us acceptable to God through Christ. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself one sacrifice for sin forever. He was the sacrifice. He offered himself as the sacrificial Lamb of God. His sacrifice, his death, his blood, and all that it entailed was that we might be accepted in the sight of a holy God. God was satisfied with the death of his Son. And so for all those who trust Christ today, for all those who exercise saving faith in Christ today, we are accepted in him. Christ paid the debt. Christ paid the penalty, the price for our sins. He satisfied, he fulfilled every requirement of God's law for us. He rendered a complete and a perfect satisfaction for sin, so that all who trust in him will be accepted. We're not accepted before God today, folks, because of who we are. We're not accepted before God today because of what we have done. We are accepted before God today because of Christ and all that he has done. I stand accepted today. I stand accepted tomorrow. And I stand accepted for the rest of my days. Why? Because of Christ. Because of faith in him. Not a blind faith. Not a faith in anything. Not a faith, even in faith itself. Rather, the object of our faith, namely Christ. He is the only grounds of our acceptance with God. Dear believer, today, you, right at this very moment, are accepted before God. The moment you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ on the cross to save you, he accepted you. Acceptance is not some thing that will happen up in the future. It's not something that whenever we come to meet God on the day of judgment, that we will be accepted. No, right now, right at this very moment in time, you are accepted in Christ. And there is no other way that a sinner can be accepted with God but through Christ. Not only our acceptance, but also then our adoption. You see, hand in hand with our acceptance, there is the reality of our adoption. Adoption into the family of God. Brought into God's family. And how is that done? Again, it's through Christ. We are the children of God today through Christ. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, he reminds them and we all of what we were by nature and by virtue of our birth. We were the children of disobedience. We were the children of wrath. We were the children of Satan, the children of darkness. But then the change comes, Ephesians 2 and 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. He redeemed us. He regenerated us. He raised us. He renamed us. And by saving grace took us out. Took us out of the pit and the darkness of sin and brought us into the family of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we, We who were the children of disobedience, we who were the children of wrath, we who were walking in darkness, that we should be called the sons of God. Through his love, demonstrated in giving his son to be our Savior, through Christ's redeeming work on the cross, for all who will believe in him, you've been adopted and brought into the family of God and renamed the children of God. As we said at the beginning, one of the most common ways that we are identified today is by our family name. We're known as our father's son or mother's daughter, whatever. Our family name identifies us. Child of God, today you have a far greater identity than any earthly family. A far more superior identity. Why? Because we've been adopted into the family of God, made the children of God. God today is our heavenly Father. We have royal and regal blood in us. We have a privilege far beyond all other privileges, that we are the sons of God. Oh, we may be pilgrims. We may be strangers on this earth. We may have a name that is obscure and nobody knows anything about us. So be it. We may be children, strangers in this world, but thank God we're not orphans, because we're in God's family. We've been adopted into his family. The hymn writer said, I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by nature and an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? He's building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. That's your identity today. Believer, let that truth permeate your heart and soul. And remember all that it cost Christ to give us that identity. The pain, the agony, all that he had to endure that we might be called the children of God. Our standing in Christ, we are accepted in him. We are adopted into God's family. There's not only our standing in Christ, but I want you to see as well with me here our security in Christ. I don't need to tell you today that we live in a very insecure world. We live in a world where nations are insecure, wealth is insecure, governments are insecure, people are insecure. You see, security today is measured by that which is temporal, that which is material. It's measured by things which don't last and which pass away. That's why there is so much insecurity today, because people are placing their security, their trust in things which are fleeting, things which are transient, things which could be here today and gone tomorrow. Many people today in employment, and the reality of this modern age is that there's no such thing as a job for life. Real, genuine security today, it's not found in the things which are temporal. It's found rather in that which is eternal. Our security in this life and our security in the life that is yet to be lived is found alone, centered alone in Christ. Let's notice some things that we have security in. For the child of God today, we're secure from the wrath of God. That verse, Romans 8 and 1, ought to thrill our hearts every time we read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, notice the phrase again, in Christ Jesus. Child of God, today we're no longer under God's wrath. We are forgiven. We're justified. We're right with God. The wrath of God, which was our due, it's been appeased by the death of Christ on the cross. Judgment for my sin has been passed because Christ took that judgment in his own body on the tree. He paid the penalty. He satisfied the wrath of God for my sin. The moment I put my faith and trust in him, that wrath was removed. And today I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed by the great I am. And when he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. We're secure from the wrath of God. We're secure as well in the workings of God in our life. Today, the believer is secure and must be secure in the knowledge that God is working all things together for our good and for his glory. Our God is sovereign today. 2 Corinthians 4 in the verse 17, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God makes no mistakes. And I know that's hard to grasp, that's hard to get to grips with when we're in the midst of turmoil and affliction, but today rest in the sovereignty of God. God is working out his plan in our lives. Don't doubt it. Rather, depend upon him. What security there is in Christ today. You see, Satan, he knows he can't do anything to affect our position in Christ. But I tell you what he will do. He will make us doubt our position in Christ. He will use circumstances, and he will use situations, and yes, he will use our faults and failures to make us doubt our eternal security in Christ. And there is a battle going on today in the minds of the believer, and Satan is heading up that battle concerning our security in Christ. And he will seek to discredit the claims of God's word. He will seek to discredit the character of God. That's why, folks, it is so vital that we keep our minds focused and fixed on him. That's why we don't allow our minds to wander, to be overcome with ourselves or with our situations, but rather allow our minds to be overcome with him, with Christ. Our secure standing and identity in him. He gives to us eternal life. We were thinking of that a few Lord's Day evenings past. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who is eternal, he gives to us eternal life. Yes, Satan may try to disturb our peace, but he can never destroy our peace with God. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Full stop, end of story, that's it. Child of God, you're in Christ today. And I don't care what the world says. And I don't care what Satan may come and tell you today. What about this and what about that? You're in Christ. You don't look to yourself. You don't look to circumstances. You look to him. Let that truth, the application of that truth, permeate your mind. I'm redeemed. And I can never perish. Child of God, today you are the most secure person in this world. People that you work with, people perhaps even you live with, they do not have this security. And I know today people are making plans for the future, storing up, planning ahead materially, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. But they'll not take any of those things with them. Only security that we have in this life and in the life beyond the grave is the security that is found alone in Jesus Christ. Our standing in Christ, our security in Christ. But finally, as we close, I want us to consider our significance in Christ, our significance in Christ. You know, today, the people of God have a significance far beyond that which this world can confer upon us. In fact, as far as this world is concerned, we may be of no significance. And the devil will often try to use that and will often try to bring God's people into a state where they feel useless and they feel insignificant. Remember again, we do not measure our standards by this world. We ought not to be concerned about what this world thinks about us. Folks, they rejected our Lord. They rejected Christ. They thought he was an outcast. Who is he? Someone born in a stable, his lowly lifestyle, his humiliating death. They viewed Christ as being insignificant. And the world will often view God's people as being insignificant also. But don't allow the view of this world to blur the view that God has of his people. You see, the child of God today, dear believer today, whatever age you are, whatever standing you have, you are significant to Christ. Of ourselves, we have no significance. We know that. But it's through him. It's through Christ that we are significant. Our identity before him is one of the highest significant things that could ever be afforded upon any person. We've been chosen in Christ. We've been called by sovereign grace in Christ. We've been counted righteous through Christ. Child of God today, you are the object of God's special, unconditional love. His love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved your soul that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to save you from sin. Now, I know Satan hates that truth. And I know he'll seek to twist it. And he'll seek to undermine it. But he can never undo it. Dear believer, today you, as we have been singing, are loved with an everlasting love. You are significant. Such was the love of God towards you in Christ. You're significant because of his unconditional love towards you. You're also significant because of his unfailing promises given to you. Every promise in the scriptures are to be claimed and they are to be proved. God's promises in him, that is, in Christ, are yea and in him, amen. In other words, they cannot be taken away. They are sure and they are certain. Don't doubt them. Don't disbelieve them. Depend upon them. You're also significant in Christ because of his unending presence with you. Wherever you go in life, and no matter how hard the way goes, and we all know that for some of God's choicest and dearest of people, the way can often be tough. But he says, I will never leave thee. Yes, we may be forsaken of others. I will never leave thee. Through every twist and turn, through the days of sunshine, through the days of shadow, he remains faithful. And he is ever present. He truly is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. One day, dear believer, such is your significance, one day he'll bring you home to glory to be with himself for all eternity. What significance you have in Christ. Oh, dear child of God, today don't allow all the negative thoughts that are from the pit of hell to overcome you, but rather look to Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Don't allow the devil to use your past experiences to condemn you, to defeat you. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Remember your identity in Christ. Remember who you are in Christ, all that you are in Christ. Remember your standing in him. You've been accepted. You've been adopted into God's family. Remember your security in Christ. You're the most secure person in this world because of what Christ has done on the cross to save you. Remember your significance in Christ, his unconditional love towards you, his unfailing promises, his unending presence. Child of God, today we have a new name, sons of God. We have a new nature. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And we have a new nationality. We're heavenly citizens. This world we're just passing through. We're going to be with Christ someday, which is for better. You see, knowing who we are in Christ is crucial. Knowing your identity in him is vital. It's a strong foundation on which to build for a successful and peaceful Christian life. It matters not what others think. It matters not what the world around you think. It's about what God knows and what God sees that's all important. And if you are saved by God's grace, washed in his precious blood, you have an unparalleled and a superior identity in Christ that must never be forgotten. Child of God today, I know that things are hard and tough. And many people finding the going very, very hard. And we think of ourselves, we have no identity, we have no significance. But your love today by God in Christ. God has been good. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Don't allow the devil to rob you of the truths of all that you are in Christ. And as we close today, let me ask again the question, are you in Christ? Are you saved today? All these blessings of which we have been speaking of, are they yours today? Has there been that moment? Has there been that time in your heart and life when you gave your life to Christ? Or today are you still in your sin? Oh, today you can be in Christ. And all the special privileges reserved for the children of God can be yours through faith in Jesus Christ. And for everyone that's saved, remember your standing in him. Remember your security in him, and remember your significance in him. Our identity in Christ, far beyond any identity that this world can ever give. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee today for all that we are in Christ. We thank thee, O God, today for all that thou hast done for us, setting your love upon us, drawing us with the cords of love to thyself. We thank thee, O God, for every redeemed soul today that we're in Christ, and for all the privileges that are ours, they're beyond our human comprehension. But Lord, we thank thee that we can claim them all. And our Father, we pray for any who may be here without him today. And there are strangers and pilgrims still in this world. We ask, O God, that this day you'll bring them to Christ. Bring them, Lord, to the foot of the cross. Bring them to thyself. O God, we pray that you'll work in hearts and lives. Lord, for those that are downcast, we pray, O God, that you'll lift up, O God, we ask. For, Lord, those who are feeling the heat and the burden of the day, may we remind ourselves, as we need to constantly do, of our identity in Him. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless Thy Word, and take Thy Word and apply it by Thy Spirit to each and to every heart. Answer prayer for us. We pray this in Thy name and for Thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the hymn number 425, please. Hymn number 425. You'll find